All right, good morning. Craig, about 2 months ago, asked me, put me back on the schedule and said, would you talk about parenting? And so then he was projecting out the dates, and really purely it was not grand, you know, this beautiful planning on his part that it timed it on Father's Day. That was just the next open Sunday. And so I went back to him. I said, do you realize that's Father's Day? He said, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. So anyway, it was timed pretty well. But that is what I'm talking about today, is basically around parenting. When he first asked me to do that, I'm like, I was telling Tim this morning, I'm like, man, this is, yeah, that's no problem. That's easy to talk about. As times draw near, and then it's like, oh, my goodness, there is just way too much to talk about, way too much to, try to fit in here in about a 30-minute window. And there's so many different avenues that I could take, you know, on something like this. You could spend, you know, a whole series just talking about parenting of toddlers, you know, and then you could talk about middle school, and then you could talk about high school, and then you could talk about, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, I'm hopefully would have prepared, and then, you know, I prepared some things and some points to talk about this morning, and then even this morning, it just didn't quite seem to quite fit. And it was pretty neat, the intercession thing before, wanted to pray and had some things they gave. And so I'm kind of throwing away some of the things that I prepared and going to go a little bit different route on some stuff. And it may be a disaster because I may get halfway through this and completely forget about what I'm talking about. God's good, and y'all are forgiving, and I'm not getting paid, so it's easy to fire me. So if this doesn't go well. It was really pretty cool what was shared this morning in prayer. It was cool what was shared by Sean, you know, earlier. I know it's Father's Day, so and me being a guy, me being a father, it kind of comes from that angle. Let me state before I go any further, though, I've been blessed. I've been lucky. I've had a spouse. You know, I know there's so many single parents, so many broken homes, you know, and et cetera. You know, I've had 34 years. Pretty amazing, you know, this at the end of this month. So a lot of this, you know, don't look at this and me telling a few stories and telling a few things here and et cetera. I had a partner in crime who has taught me a lot and has balanced me out, you know, and et cetera. And so she deserves a lot of the credit. Sean talking this morning about his mom and et cetera. Yes, it's Father's Day, but, you know, some of them bounce around a little bit. Now, you know, you got to start out with a joke. You got to start out funny. And unfortunately, on the front row is my mom. And so she's going to get targeted a couple of times. But she loves me and she forgives me. My mom was not that one where you come in and you're scraped and, oh, sweetie, you know, and brush you off. No, my mom was, I think I got in my family, I learned that, you know, if a kid comes in and they're scraped or they're whatever and they're whining, something's upset, and I'm looking and their foot's bumped or they, et cetera. Then there was a joke in our family that I'd go get a knife and I'd say, well, let's just cut it off and it won't hurt anymore. That was kind of my mom's attitude. I'll give one more. My younger brother and I were the ones that were the duo that got in trouble all the time. Craig rose above it all somehow. But we did a stupid, cheesy little haunted house. We had a crawl space under our house, and we thought we were cool to do this haunted house and get the kids to, I don't know, I think they gave us a dollar or something to go through this, and hoping to scare. Well, you know, quickly we realized it was a bust and nobody was scared of anything. So I got in the kitchen and I got eggs. And so when they come around the corner and you're crawling, it's dark, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I threw eggs against to try to, you know, shock people against the wall. Wasn't ever aiming to hit anybody, but, you know, what did, et cetera. Anyway, out of that, there was a big kid in the neighborhood that I still don't think I hit him with the egg, but he said I hit him with the egg. Maybe I did. But, you know, I'm flying out of there, running in the house because he's going to beat me up, et cetera. Well, Mom hears all this commotion and hoopla, and this big kid is going to be the tough guy on the block. He's standing in the front yard not letting me get away with it. Mom figures out what's going on. She's like, did you hit him with the egg? Well, I don't know. I don't think. Did you throw the egg? Yeah, I threw the egg. All right. She marches me out in the front lawn, gives the guy an egg, turns me around and says, you hit him with the egg. Fair is fair, an eye for an eye, you know, et cetera. And, oh, man, that hurt. That guy leaned back, hit me square between the shoulder blades. And but anyway, just, I love her. And she needed to do that with three boys that she was raising, and it worked out great, et cetera. But anyway, back to, you know, really parenting. You guys probably all know I've got five kids, got three biological, two adopted. It's kind of intimidating that two of those children, Joseph and Lydia, are sitting here this morning. But, you know, and now I'm so blessed. I've got three kids that are married now and got five grandchildren, two on the way this summer. And, man, it's just great. It's a lot of fun. It's also unbelievably humbling, unbelievably intimidating, because there is no textbook. There's nothing I'm going to say this morning that's going to give you steps 1 through 3, 4, 5 that you can leave here that just is going to solve all your problems and be all the answers that you need in trying to be a good father, mother, parent, you know, et cetera. But it... You know, I want to jump to, so before we go to any of the heavy, you know, discussions, et cetera, in here, back on that context, you know, I had a niece that a few years ago made some comment. There was a family conflict. There's always family conflicts. I don't care what family you're in. I don't care how dysfunctional, how good. There's going to be family conflicts. It's human nature. It's the dynamics of people living together, et cetera. But I had a niece that spoke up, and it really actually kind of broke my heart because I realized the perception was so wrong. And she said, well, I just want to be a part of that Cooper bubble. And it really took me aback. I didn't know what she was talking about and et cetera. And there's a perception there that, and people make fun of where we live and et cetera, of our Cooper compound and just, you know, there's discussions that, and Israel's laughing, like, yeah, that everything's perfect and everybody's getting along and et cetera. And it's so far from the truth. It takes a lot of hard work to make things, to keep from killing each other. It takes a lot of hard work to make things, to smooth things out and to make life, you know, enjoyable, et cetera. I look at Callie over here and I think, how many times we have a swimming pool behind our house that we open it up and want people to use and enjoy. And I'm probably horrified at the things you've probably heard us screaming in our house. And you were out there by the pool. And so I'm being very transparent here. We are so far from perfect, and you will be so far from perfect, you know, in being a parent raising your children. You know, I said funny things about my mom. There, you know, growing up and, you know, in our family, et cetera, nobody's perfect. We all sin. Matter of fact, I heard a thing this week where a friend passed it on to me, heard that I was going to talk about parenting, and it was a snippet of a sermon that a guy in North Carolina was given, and it was pretty neat. And he said, you know, our Father in heaven is obviously perfect in all ways, in all motives, and et cetera. But even he created the angels, and a third of the angels rebelled and against him and the problems that caused. He created Adam and Eve in a perfect environment in the Garden of Eden, and we all know what came of that experiment and where that came from. My point being is, take the pressure off. Relax a little bit. Even the Father in heaven, who is perfect, the things he did didn't turn out perfect. What we do is not going to turn out perfect. But back, you know, my own life, and again, it was shared this morning a little bit in intercession, and I got to try to move faster. I'll never get to this stuff. But I was not going to go into talking much about, you know, any specific situations with our family. You know, Lisa's struck today. Father's Day and Mother's Day and different holidays can bring pain, you know, different times. And some people shared that this morning a little bit, that, you know, how sometimes it's a struggle even to want to come to church or be out and about on a Father's Day. You know, Joe sharing in the past has been, you know, of growing up without a father and the home that you've grown up with and et cetera. So, you know, I know even in my own wife is struggling today with the dysfunctional situation that's arisen from stepfather to father to you know, et cetera, and who to even call today, you know, and who to even try to get with and spend time with, et cetera. You know, my own father, in so many ways, did, you know, a phenomenal job, passed on some strong heritage in a strong different ways. But he also caused some pain. I was not going to go there this morning. I wasn't going to bring it up until y'all shared it this morning. But that will last till I die. Some of the pain that he caused will never get past that. But again, no family's perfect. No situation is perfect. And our Father in heaven is who we're to look at. And people will always disappoint. But, you know, even my own father, there was many, his motives in so many different avenues were good and were done out of love, even if he didn't understand how and how to execute that. I said, I come back to you and give good stories. Mom was clearly the saint in the family. Now, she was tough. There was a couple of different periods in her life. I didn't even want to talk to her for almost a year. Didn't even want to talk to her. I was so mad. But, you know, she was that person that really wanted to show the motivations to follow the Lord. And I think that comes back to what I want to talk about this morning, is character, your heart, and what you're about, how you live every day. You know, I can say, you know, with a lot of pride, that what she talks about on Sunday is what she lives the other 24/7. And that's rare. And that's what we're called to do here. And if anything comes out of this, that character that you have, the motivation that you have to live, what prompts you to go get out of bed, do what you do every day, what you say to different people, you know, where's that motivation coming from? And it should be to pursue God. It should be to pursue loving others, loving God and loving others. I mean, we all know the phrase, we all know the scripture, and it really is that simple. It comes back to that. But so that feeds into our character. That feeds into what we're about. Again, I told you I'd pick on you. And actually, there's no holds bar. I can pick on anybody I want because I got the mic. But I love watching you and Brennan. And just as you shared with me this morning, I actually was already going to talk about this anyway. But it's exactly what you just said to me a few minutes ago. And I think it was maybe 2 weeks or so ago. And that little boy is so cool. You can see in his face, you know, I get teary-eyed thinking, I don't even know Brennan Hardy. He doesn't like me. I've tried to talk to him, and he runs away. But you can see in his face just a joy, just a life, you know, to him, an innocence to him. And I love watching him up here with you when you're worshiping. You're modeling for him. You're modeling the way to live, the way to act, the character that they're. You're not his physical father, as you said, but it's what you talked about this morning about God bringing role models into your life, you know, on the male side. And I got sidetracked. I didn't listen to y'all sing. I was watching Brennan mimicking you worshiping versus listening to sing. And that was precious. It was really cool. And I even can picture how you were walking like this. And he was doing the same thing. And he wasn't being, you know, some kids just get up there and it's just to have fun. But he was walking, doing this, and looking at you, you know, and then he would do it again. And then he would see what you were doing, he'd raise his hands, and et cetera. Us as parents, fathers, mothers, et cetera, our kids are watching us 24/7 doing that. We don't get away with showing up on Sunday, put on the good face, be good people for 2 hours and go home. Kids know who we are. They know what we're about. They know what drives us. If we're angry at home, we're screaming at home, we're out of control, we're motivations are wrong, etc. They're going to pick up all of that. So first point here is character matters. I told you I'll get sidetracked because I'm not following notes. But anyway, I want to emphasize that. Next thing that I think is critical that's a part of this is consistency. And that does feed right off of the character. I mean, if you're, you're up one day, you know, you're not lying, you're not, you know, I mean, you just got a good attitude. It's not about sin. It's also just about how you treat people, how you treat your spouse, how you treat your kids, you know, it's what you say, how you say it, and et cetera. You know, but you got to be consistent with that, because if you're not anywhere near consistent with how you're treating your kids, how you're disciplining your kids, and we'll touch on that, et cetera, then that then is also going to then not, it's not going to jive with that character that was just talking about. Consistency is huge. And so let's just easy discussion here on discipline. You know, in our home, our family, you read pretty much any parenting book, they're going to tell you the same stuff, but it's so easy to forget this. You go into a store, get to the toddler age, and they got to have it. And then they're going to throw the fit. In our house, you whine, you beg, you cry for anything, you're not getting it. I mean, that's just a line. If that happens, and toddlers, again, is a great example to pick on, because it happens to every toddler, to every little one in a store. Even when you get to be, 20 years old and you got to have that smartphone, that's going to be the pattern. But toddlers is really dramatic. And yes, you got to be willing to be humiliated, to be embarrassed as a parent, to draw that line. And I can't tell you the times that I've carried a kid out of Target screaming, hollering, bloody murder because they're throwing that tantrum and that fit, and you feel like every eye in that store is watching you carry that kid outside. And you're just, as fast as you can get out, as fast as you can get him in that car, slam the door so nobody else is hearing this kid scream. But you got to do it. And I can't tell you how that's the perfect analogy to me of consistency. Because the first time, the one time, you're tired, you don't want to deal with it, you don't want to be humiliated to walk out of that store, so you take the easy route and you give in. Sure, yeah, you can have that toy that you're just got to have because you're going to die if you don't have that toy. And you don't want to deal with it. Guess what? Those kids have perfect memories. And if you give in that one time, it's over. Now it's going to take 100 times of you saying no and sticking to it for them to really finally get it that you mean business. I love the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? We love the music, we love the funny, the humor, and everything else in the movie. But what rings that I'll never forget is the wife in there who everybody knows when she counts to three, it's done. It's over. Decision's made. She's counted to three. Dadgummit, we're not even going to be able to discuss it anymore. If you haven't ever seen the movie, it's hilarious. That's how you've got to be. Now, let's roll over, you know, and talk about, you know, really kind of consistency, kind of another term, what I would say, creativity in your house, and be creative. I try not to be the real dogmatic, structured, you know, by the law, there's no forgiveness, there's no mercy, there's no fun. You know, if anybody knows me, I try to have fun most of anything I do. But kids have to have structure. Your family has to have structure. We could go every type of organization, and your family is an organizational unit. It can, whether it's a company, whether it's a church, whether it's some other organization, you know, we're a unit as a family. Then you can really do the analogies of businesses and blah, 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 and go on and on with that. And I'm running out of time, and I just realized that. So I'm going to speed up. But that could be a whole service talking about, the whole teaching talking about that. That's my point. So your home cannot be anarchy. You've got to have that structure. And kids, here's the point, which has some great quote to give it and some great scripture to give it. But your kids will be more peaceful, less stressful, more content and more happy, knowing the boundaries in your house, knowing what's allowed, what's not allowed, knowing that there's consistency in how that's applied, knowing that there's love that's being applied to that, you know, in that discipline, and in those laws and that rules and whatever your house, than if you're the buddy-buddy friend. It kills me watching some of these parents that, I'm not an authoritative figure. I'm just a friend. I need to just be a friend to my kid. Well, you should be a friend to your kid. Don't get me wrong. But that kid's looking for authority. that kid in your household is looking for that structure in order to have peace and have boundaries and have parameters. So inevitably, can't go without talking about discipline. And so, and this does feed into that topic. You know, and here truly is steps to me. So these are steps that I think are literal that you can follow and should follow in every time. Number one, and I'm laughing because there ain't anybody in this room, in the past or in the future, that's ever going to do this consistently. Don't discipline in anger. You can't. If you discipline, and we all do it. I've done it a lot. But if you discipline in anger, so for instance, you know, and I'm not hardly even going to talk about the spanking thing because now that's taboo. You can't talk about that. You know, you get thrown in jail anymore if you talk about any kind of corporate discipline. But if, no matter if it's spanking, no matter if it's timeout, no matter if it's taking away, you know, doing chores, taking away privilege, you know, et cetera, whatever that means of discipline that's there. If you, you know, somebody will come in, and I specifically started out with spanking because I've heard so many times people say, well, spanking doesn't work. Guarantee you, no matter what form of discipline you're doing, you're probably doing it wrong. And I'm not being condemning here, but number one, you can't, if you do it in anger, it's not going to be effective. Second of all, I mean, so what Lisa and I are trying to hold ourselves accountable to doing is, don't do it in anger, even if you have to take a break, even if you have to walk around for a while, even if you have to wait 2 hours to do that, just something to have a cooling off period, you then do the discipline. You sit them down, you explain why. This is why, you know, the rule is what it is and why we're doing what we're doing, you know, and et cetera. My mom did this great. She would preach at us for 30 minutes. By the end of the 30 minutes, we were just, please spank me, get this over with. I want to go outside. But she taught that well. To where you're explaining the why. And then whatever the discipline that is, you know, that you meet out, whatever, et cetera. And then pray. And boy, that's hard to do. And I'm far from being consistent on this one. But if you do those in those steps, don't do it in anger. Explain why. Discipline. And then pray. And assure them that you love them. And assure them that you're doing this for a good reason, even if they don't understand, you know, why you're doing it or don't respect it for what they're doing. Later they will. I promise you they will at some point in time. Have fun. Be creative. Joseph, I got to tell this story. Well, it's really about you and your sister. But parenting is going to keep you humble. You know, father's going to keep you humble because again, there's every kid's going to be different, and it's kind of leading into what I mentioned here in a minute about connecting, you know, with your kids. Every single kid's different. What makes them tick, what their dreams are. Some disciplines are going to be effective, some aren't, depending on the kid. And so you got to stay humble, you got to stay learning, you got to stay talking to people, getting different ideas, et cetera. Mom handed me a book years ago. And the cover of the book was about as cheesy as it comes. It's called Train Up a Child. And it looked like an Amish couple. It may have been Amish. I don't know. But that's who it looked like. It was an Amish couple on the cover. And I went, why'd you give me this book? Out of that book, there were some things in there I would never do as a parent. But there were some golden nuggets in that book. One of them, so we adopted Joseph and Lydia. We get them when they're 3 years old. Well, are they potty trained? Oh, yes, yeah, they're potty trained. 5 years old runs around and we're still changing diapers. That's not fun. Changing diapers of a 5 year old gets old real quick. And, you know, again, that's a whole nother service. I could talk about the journey that we went through, not only as parents, but also it was a whole different ball of wax. Wonderful, great, glad to have the adventure and the journey, but with the biological kids, we got Joseph and Lydia. We thought we kind of knew what we were doing. Oh, man, we just might as well have just started all over because we didn't know what we were doing. And it's a whole different set of challenges. The potty training is a very practical, though daily example of working for 2 years to try to figure out how to get these kids potty trained and out of diapers. This book gave me the golden nugget that said, yeah, gave an example of a mom that was trying to get her kid to potty train at 5 years old. And anyway, So I sat Joseph and Lydia down, and I said, y'all are big kids now. Big kids. This is awesome that you are now old and you're mature and you're, you know, et cetera. Well, guess what? Big kids, man. This is the way big kids do it. You don't lay down and gently put a wipe. Well, I didn't tell them all that. You know, you're not laying them and changing their diaper. Big kids do it a better way. Big kids, you go outside, and praise God we don't live in a neighborhood. But you go outside, you take off the diapers, you take the hose, and you spray them off. That's the way big kids do it. And, you know, yeah, I was kind of teetering on a gray area there, telling a white lie. But so it has also made it even more of a harsh punishment when it was pretty cold outside. And that water's pretty cold. And I'm weaving this story in for a couple of things. Once you make a decision to lay down that law with your kids, you better be careful. Because when you say you're going to do this, and this is the way to do it, because to me, I read that book, I got excited, that's what I'm going to do, and I was pumped. Then I'm sitting there looking at Joseph and Lydia, telling them I was going to do it, and I told them, I thought, oh, Lord, what have I committed to? Because I don't think I can actually follow through and do this. And when I was out there holding Joseph's hands, and his little bottom's turning blue as I'm spraying him off, and he's screaming bloody murder, you know, et cetera. And again, I was just praying none of my neighbors heard it. I was questioning whether I should follow through. But I made the commitment, followed through. Joseph was stubborn. I think it took maybe about 4 times of the hose for him to potty train. Lydia got it with the first spray. She was smart. So anyway, be creative. Be creative with not just on the hard stuff. Be creative on the fun stuff in your family. You know, my dad on Sunday mornings, to get us out of bed, because we did not want to ever get out of bed on Sunday mornings, he would go through the house singing at the top. He was a good singer, singing at the top of his lungs, "How Great Thou Art," or something he picked that day. And we'd all roll our eyes in bed and knew that we had to get up and et cetera. You know, just be creative with things. Again, I tend to have a little bit too much adventure spirit in me, that thank God we only had one ambulance ever come to our house because of that adventuresome spirit. Actually, it wasn't even my kid. It was another kid that was there doing what we were doing and got hurt. But, you know, and it doesn't cost a lot of money. We, as toddlers, one of the best games you can ever do, go get you a bunch of balloons, tie a string across the room, divide them up in teams, one on each side, and have balloon volleyball. It's cheap, it's easy, play for hours. Kids are at each other's throats screaming, hollering, and you're about ready to have, you know, go at wits' end, break out the balloons. It never fails. You'll always have a good time. I kind of continued that too far at times when we were making PVC pipes and dropping bottle rockets in the PVC pipes and doing bottle rocket wars, you know, across the pasture. Luckily, nobody ever got hit with the bottle rockets. Well, we had a good time doing it, you know. But again, over the paintball, blah blah blah, you can have a good time, and that feeds into connecting with your kids. You got to know your kids. Number one's listen. You got to some. I'm not a. All three of us brothers struggle with being workaholics and working too much. So I'm guilty of not spending the time, you know, that I should have over the years. And I would probably say Craig's in the same boat and Ken is in the same boat. But I do believe quality's key. I mean, quantity of time is important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting that down. But you've got to spend the quality time. And number one of that is to listen. If you're not going to know your kid, you're not going to know their dreams, you're not going to know how to connect with them, how to talk with them, you're not even going to know what's important to them as far as what to, if when it gets back to this ugly discipline thing, you know, what are you going to know that, how are you going to even figure out in what you choose to, that's most effective in training them up, you know, et cetera. So connect with the kids, spend time with them, do stuff that's, you know, that they enjoy. It can't always be about you and what you enjoy. You got to give, you know, I've never been an arts kind of person. It's just not in my DNA. I remember, I think it's pretty funny that years ago, Lisa we had to go to the Nutcracker in Chattanooga. Daniel, my third son, was there. He and I were sitting together. I was worried we were going to get kicked out because we were making fun of the ballet. And I won't even go to details. It's one thing on women about it. You got guys in ballet, and what it just, he and I were just having too much fun with that. We just about got kicked out. It's hilarious that he's married a ballet. And that's what she, that's what Elsa is great at and she's done. And here, what we were making fun of, that's her passion, you know? And so, even connecting with my daughter-in-law, you know, do what she loves to do, talk what she loves to talk about. I honestly, ballet is not that big, you know, I don't care a whole lot about it. But I do because I love Elsa, and I do because she's so good at it. And that's what you need to do with every one of your kids. Had a bunch more here to talk about, but we've got just a few minutes, and I know we want to do some prayer time on some stuff, so let me just shut this part down. I was going to talk, I'm going to mention it just because it's important, but I'm not going to go into any details. I did want to talk a little bit about that, especially you that's got younger kids, you know, growing up. I can't imagine what life's going to be like for them over the next 20 years with the digital side and the culture that's declining that we live in. The challenges you've got are immense, and that would be a whole other series, I think, you know, to talk about. But, you know, Craig joked about it a couple of weeks ago. He wasn't really joking, but he made a comment about the gender identity. I've got a good friend, Lisa and I've got a good friend that's got four kids. I can't imagine from a father standpoint he could have done anything more perfect. I know his heart's been that way with his four kids. One of his daughters, all four of his kids are struggling, saying they don't even know God, don't love God, don't believe in God. And one of his daughters is having gender identity issues. It's real. Teenage suicides up 30% in the last 5 years. I mean, that stuff was unheard of, you know, when we were growing up, and even when my younger set, you know, was growing up. And so a lot of that, and the reason I wanted to bring it up, even though it's running a little behind, is this whole internet age, digital media age, there's great stuff in it. There's tons of value in it, et cetera. But how to manage it, how to control it, how to keep your kids getting addicted to it, how to keep them from falling into stuff. Even in our own household, we can bring up some horror stories that we've had to experience that I never thought I would dream and have to experience along those lines. But two very practical things, Craig and I all the time over the years have tried to say, what can we find to control, parental control, manage, you know, put some sort of protection, you know, in house. So Craig turned me on to one device about a year ago that's just is wonderful. I think to every parent I've had, it's called The Circle with Disney. It's a device you plug into your router at home, and it controls, or it can see and monitor every device in your house. You got an app on your phone that you can assign different people to the device that's being used. Because these days you could have Roku, Apple TV, you've got a smart TV, you've got your phones, you got your tablets, you got your computers. If you've got a PS4, if you got a PlayStation, you know, within the house, that's connecting to the internet, and that could be connected to chat rooms and et cetera, and all these areas that can bring some pretty horrific stuff in. So anyway, that device is something to look into. It's a very practical example. The other one is your carriers now, your phone carriers now with Verizon and AT&T. I would assume Sprint and T-Mobile have it too. But Verizon's called Family Base. AT&T is called Smart Family, I think's what it's called, Smart Limits. What you can do with theirs, you assign the phone number, and then there's content filtering, there's time boundaries, time limits you can put on different things, and et cetera. So there's some wonderful tools that have come out just even in the last couple of years that you ought to look into. So let me wrap this up. Hope this has been good. Hope this has been helpful. You know, let me turn it back kind of around what it started on, you know, and what I know Craig's heart hears and some others that have shared. You know, want to end this with some prayer. We've all not done it right. We all won't do it right going forward. But stress this. Our Father in Heaven was perfect. And as I shared before, the fruit from that wasn't perfect. You know, even what he's done for us. Our fruit's not going to be perfect from what we're doing. Every day, strive to do your best. It's what I preach at my kids. I'm not looking for you to be some pro athlete. I'm not looking for you to get straight A's. All I ask you ever to do is to do your best. And in my job's to monitor, are they giving an honest effort to do their best? If they are, let everything else go by the wayside. Give up any other expectations you have as a parent, because who knows? But if they're doing their best, you've done a good job. And you should be obviously training them up to follow the Lord and then to learn to live in the real world by doing their best. I'll turn that back on us. All we can do is do our best. So the same thing is preached both ways. So why don't you come on up? And I know, you know, today being Father's Day, can be a lot of emotions, you know, around that. A lot of things that haven't turned out in life that you wish they would have. And for all different on this spectrum of emotions and et cetera, we all have stories that we could tell of things we wish were better and could have done better. And next week, Israel's going to talk and tell all the things you didn't do as a father and prove my point. But here, let me turn it over.
Let's do two.